Extract number 1. Read the questions.
What's up, GQ? I'm Stephen Curry, and today I'm going undercover on the internet. It's actually me. Let's check Twitter. I wonder if Steph's ankle injuries ever affected him mentally. Like, did he ever lose faith? There were plenty of times that I doubted myself. All y'all wanted to do was just be healthy and play and then worry about being great on the court later. But when you're in those moments, you know, doing rehab and becomes really monotonous, it is hard. You got to have a good support system around you, and thankfully I did. How can Stephen Curry be stopped? What did Bron say that one time? You don't? I like that line. I had to steal it from him. I like that one. How can I shoot like Curry? Everybody thinks they can shoot from, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet. I've been developing muscle memory since I was basically 5 years old when I started playing organized basketball. So you got to put in the hours, but it only comes with reps. However many shots I've taken since I was 5, you got to shoot that many shots. Let's see more on Instagram. Why did Steph Curry get skipped by 7 teams in the NBA draft? I was asking that same question when I was sitting in the green room, but I've always been a late bloomer too, so, you know, maybe I didn't pass the eye test in terms of being able to play on this level physically, but again, the right team picked me at the right spot and the rest is history. Hold it. Steph Curry has an actual Steph Curry has an actual vision problem and shoots lights out like he does with context. The reason I found out I couldn't see very well is because our GM, Bob Myers, saw me on TV one time just squinting, looking at the scoreboard, and he came up and asked me, he's like, can you actually see? And I was like, no, I just see the color orange really well, and usually from about 25 feet. Is it just me, or is there something about the Warriors with off-ball movement and clever passing that just makes the NBA feel so much fun? Everybody who enjoys the game of basketball, the way that 5 guys work together on every possession to either create a shot or get somebody open or set a screen or move without the ball. Basketball purists love it. I'm one of those. It's such a fun way to play the game because everybody feels involved. You get as much pleasure out of scoring the ball as you do getting the assist, as you do, you know, setting the screen to get somebody open. So it's the way that I learned how to play the game, and I'm glad that I could bring that system and make it successful in the NBA. Because it is hard to do. You got to have a lot of high IQ guys on the floor to make it happen. Honestly, who's a better shooter, you or Klay? I'm glad I'm sitting in this seat right now and not him, because I get to answer and not him. And it's definitely me. But every great shooter feels like they can beat whoever the next best shooter is. But the fact that he shoots the ball so well, I got to be on my A game to beat him no matter when it is. That's it. I'm signing out. Peace.
Now, listen again.
What's up, GQ? I'm Stephen Curry, and today I'm going undercover on the internet. It's actually me. Let's check Twitter. I wonder if Steph's ankle injuries ever affected him mentally. Like, did he ever lose faith? There were plenty of times that I doubted myself. All y'all wanted to do was just be healthy and play and then worry about being great on the court later. But when you're in those moments, you know, doing rehab and becomes really monotonous, it is hard. You got to have a good support system around you. And thankfully, I did. How can Stephen Curry be stopped? What did Bron say that one time? You don't? I like that line. I had to steal it from him. I like that one. How can I shoot like Curry? Everybody thinks they can shoot from, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet. I've been developing muscle memory since I was basically 5 years old when I started playing organized basketball. So you got to put in the hours, but it only comes with reps. However many shots I've taken since I was 5, you got to shoot that many shots. Let's see more on Instagram. Why did Steph Curry get skipped by 7 teams in the NBA draft? I was asking that same question when I was sitting in the green room, but I've always been a late bloomer too, so, you know, maybe I didn't pass the eye test in terms of being able to play on this level physically, but again, the right team picked me at the right spot and the rest is history. Hold it, Steph Curry has an actual Steph Curry has an actual vision problem and shoots lights out like he does with context. The reason I found out I couldn't see very well is because our GM, Bob Myers, saw me on TV one time just squinting, looking at the scoreboard, and he came up and asked me, he's like, can you actually see? And I was like, no, I just see the color orange really well, and usually from about 25 feet. Is it just me, or is there something about the Warriors with off-ball movement and clever passing that just makes the NBA feel so much fun? Everybody who enjoys the game of basketball, the way that five guys work together on every possession to either create a shot or get somebody open or set a screen or move it out the ball. Basketball purists love it. I'm one of those. It's such a fun way to play the game because everybody feels involved. You get as much pleasure out of scoring the ball as you do getting the assist, as you do, you know, setting the screen to get somebody open. So it's the way that I learned how to play the game, and I'm glad that I could bring that system and make it successful in the NBA. Because it is hard to do. You got to have a lot of high IQ guys on the floor to make it happen. Honestly, who's a better shooter, you or Klay? I'm glad I'm sitting in this seat right now and not him, because I get to answer and not him. And it's definitely me. But every great shooter feels like they can beat whoever the next best shooter is. But the fact that he shoots the ball so well, I got to be on my A game to beat him no matter when it is. That's it. I'm signing out. Peace.
Extract number 2. Read the questions.
I did speak to someone the other day who has a business where she is a professional proposal planner. Oh yes, that would
Wait,
make...
You hire her.
And she does all the work for you. She's a lovely woman. But the funniest thing is, I said to her, why did you set up this business? Is that because you saw a real
she
need?
She saw a gap in the market.
The real reason, which she was almost too embarrassed to say on the radio, was... she wanted her other half to propose and she thought he'd get the hint. And he did once she started planning other people.
Imagine starting an entire career for a man to get...
It is. And also the idea that women can't ask men themselves is obviously another part of this.
There's still the leap year thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can only ask a man to marry you on one day every few years.
But then another thing with like proposals and grand gestures is that we have to think about the fact that, especially with public proposals, why they make me a little bit uncomfortable, especially the big grand ones, is that if that person's emotionally abusive, massive and they do this massive gesture in front of loads of people, family and strangers, you feel gaslighted and guilt-tripped into saying yes. Of course. That's what makes it also quite worrying.
And the weird thing is, having been proposed to and having said yes, I mean, it was a surprise because it was a bit earlier than I thought it might be in our stage of life together. We were in our 20s. But even though I knew it would come at some point potentially, I was still like, hey, I get 1 second between you asking me that question, like for sure, and me going. So it was really awful because I went, no, meaning, oh my gosh, are you doing this? But the only word he heard, the only word he heard was no. And he was like, I'm straight back up off that knee, because he tried to do the whole knee thing. And he's like, that's not the first word one wants to hear. But anyway, the point is, it's a weird psychology that you have a few seconds as a woman most of the time to
definitely
say yes to this big
and
thing.
Just like Chidera was saying, I suspect that the kind of person who would engineer a great big fancy thing like that is exactly the kind of person who might not be doing this with the purest of motives. It might not be a relationship that had a kind of a healthy balance of power. I'm not saying that's always the case, but when I look at it, that's what I see.
It doesn't look quite right. Let's talk about guilty pleasures. Let's go from proposals.
Now, listen again.
I did speak to someone the other day who has a business where she is a professional proposal planner. Oh yes, that would make...
You hire her and she does
all the work for you. She's a lovely woman. But the funniest thing is, I said to her, why did you set up this business? Is that because you saw a real need?
She saw a gap in the market.
The real reason, which she was almost too embarrassed to say on the radio, was... she wanted her other half to propose and she thought he'd get the hint. And he did once she started planning
Imagine starting an entire career for a man to get...
It is. And also the idea that women can't ask men themselves is obviously another part of this.
There's still the leap year thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can only ask a man to marry you on one day every few years.
But then another thing with like proposals and grand gestures is that we have to think about the fact that, especially with public proposals, why they make me a little bit uncomfortable, especially the big grand ones, is that... if that person's emotionally abusive and they do this massive gesture in front of loads of people, family and strangers, you feel gaslighted and guilt-tripped into saying yes.
Of
and
course.
That's what makes it also quite worrying.
And the weird thing is, having been proposed to and having said yes, I mean, it was a surprise because it was a bit earlier than I thought it might be in our stage of life together. We were in our 20s. But even though I knew it would come at some point potentially, I was still like, hey, I get 1 second between you asking me that question, like for sure, and me going. So it was really awful because I went, no, meaning, oh my gosh, are you doing this? But the only word he heard, the only word he heard was no. And he was like, I'm straight back up off that knee, because he tried to do the whole knee thing. And he's like, that's not the first word one wants to hear. But anyway, the point is, it's a weird psychology that you have a few seconds as a woman most of the time to
definitely
say yes to this big thing.
And just like Chidera was saying, I suspect that the kind of person who would engineer a great big fancy thing like that is exactly the kind of person who might not be doing this with the purest of motives. It might not be a relationship that had a kind of a healthy balance of power. I'm not saying that's always the case, when I look at it, that's what I see.
It doesn't look quite right. Let's talk about guilty pleasures. Let's go from proposals.
That is the end of part 1.